Good evening. I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, Selectmen's meeting for Monday, September 10th. And Russ Dan has an excused absence. Scott? Roll call.
Scott Komisarek here.
Boyd Chivers here.
Carlton Roby here.
And Susan Young. Thank you all for coming in. We started this at a resident's request last meeting. Is there any public input or comment at this point? Okay.
I would like to make a public comment.
Yes.
Just briefly. If we're going to have this public comment, which I think is a well-received idea, and I'm going to go back to our last meeting, and Mrs. Young opened up the meeting for public comment and asked if anybody had any public comment, and everyone said no. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything. And at that point, my opinion, if we're going to do this and do it in a professional manner, that would be the end of public comment until we got done talking to whoever or about whatever we needed to talk about as selectmen. And then if the chairman of the board would like to open that back up for public comment, in that this situation we had a gentleman speaking to us and it turned into a room full of people talking in a three-way conversation between the person, the board, and the audience. And in my opinion, we talked for an hour and really never had a selectman's meeting about the situation, about how this all transpired and what should have done. So just my opinion on public comment, I think it's a good idea. We should have public comment. If anyone has anything to say, they should say it off the agenda. Everything that we're going to talk about is here. And in this case that I'm talking about, certainly there was some public comment or some things may have been brought up during the exchange between the selectman and the person that may have warranted some public comment after that conversation. But this is a meeting of selectmen to conduct our business for the 2 weeks prior to the last time we met. So just with that as a note, public comment, wonderful idea. And then at the end of the meeting, we could have another public comment if we choose. But I think we need to clean that up and do away with some of the chaos that happens in between. So that's what I got.
What are your thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, I think Carlton makes a good point in that we are here to conduct this. It was a great thing, like Carlton said, to open up to the public and to get their comments. But it does at times, and there was a lot of emotion around this issue too. So it can get chaotic. So I think at times we may just have to remind the public that we need a certain amount of time to do our business. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Boyd?
I agree with Carlton, but sometimes a public comment helps inform our decision making. So how do you sort this out between a public hearing and a public meeting? I mean, at the beginning, Carlton had a good point. If people want to make a comment about any pending business before the board, they can do so, state their case. We can take that into account when we consider it. That's probably the right way of doing it.
And I'll just add in my personal thoughts. When we first brought this up, I think you were one of the ones also, Boyd, who said people should be able to speak when they want to speak during the meeting. I tend to agree with that as far as I think it's hard to make a point if we're on subject number three and they haven't commented prior to hearing maybe what we have to say or something we need to share with the public. It's hard to make a comment at the very beginning if they don't know exactly the details. So again, I don't think personally it's my job to control the comments, and I think a couple were getting off the respectful part. they were running away with that a little bit. That was my fault. I shouldn't have allowed it. And I think I kind of did say, let's be respectful. I think that's expected from everyone. We're all adults here. That's expected from everyone. But I don't know if I think, if I as a citizen or a taxpayer have something to say about item number four and I didn't bring it up or I don't have a comment until the board gets to item number four, I guess I would wish that I would have an opportunity to address the board. But again, we can, and again, that's probably my fault, Carlton, more than the public. It's my job to keep people in line, but we can do whatever the board, if the board wants to strictly go by just at the beginning and just at the end, we can do that too. It's a board decision, not mine.
Well, like I said, I welcome the public comment, and but it just, you know, we went round and round on the same thing over and over 2 weeks ago. There was a couple people that said the same thing two or three times during the hour. And I think if we have public comment off the agenda, everybody speak. And if we have an item such as that, that's a issue that we're going to vote on, before we vote on what we're going to do or make a decision, listen to public comment once again.
Okay.
But the,
oh, okay.
That's a fine way. It's good.
The interaction between the board and the public and a gentleman standing in front of us, it's too much. Three-way conversations, and that person is talking to that person, and
I agree with that.
Talking to you, and it's really confusing, and it, in my opinion, a lot of it is non-productive.
And there's even still talking among the board when other people are talking. So, and I know, and I've tried to limit that. But again, we're all adults here, I guess.
That's a good remedy, Carl.
We just have to act like adults.
That's the goal here. That's what we need to do.
Hopefully we'll do that tonight. Treat everyone how you'd like to be treated. Okay, now is there any public comment on the public comment part? is everybody all set for now? Okay, and I think the board really tries to get your input, all of you. I really do. So, approval of the previous minutes.
I'll make a motion to it. Accept the minutes as presented for August 27th for our public selectmen's meeting.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
I'll also make a motion to accept our August 27th non-public minutes from August 27th.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
And once again, I'll make a motion to approve August 30th minutes for a work session conducted on August 30th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Second that again.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. We'll go on to department reports. Highway department's first.
Am I lucky?
I was just going to say, it's your lucky day.
Okay, for the month of August wasn't too kind to us, but we had a lot of storms that month, and our roads took a beating. But anyway, the first thing on the list was, we're, of course, when all that started, we were doing the Adams Road reconstruction project. We completed the first phase of that. It was without a doubt the worst piece of road we've rebuilt since Merrill Road, with rocks, ledge, mud, drainage issues, but we got it all done. Hopefully next year they'll fund it and we'll complete it up to South Road. We had rainstorm repairs townwide, repeated rainstorms. The whole time we're working on Adams Road, we'd go at night and fix the rainstorm problems. We'll be a while fixing all those. It's going to make our shoulder work line go over and a few of our other lines go over, but I'll take that money out of other lines. We had quite a few downed trees from various thunderstorms that month. Did patching townwide, culvert cleaning townwide. They would plug up about as fast as we could keep them cleaned up with leaves and debris and stuff. And then I've been working with the town engineer on the North Road culvert replacement due to damage by heavy rains on August 3rd. We're applying for a couple of grants. We're going to have to do some temporary repairs there before winter, no matter what. We just don't know what they're going to be yet. We've got to meet with DES and see what they'll allow us to do. They did get the drainage calculations figured out on what that would take there, and we have two 5-foot culverts there now, one for the emergency spillway of that dam and another for the regular stream. And it's coming back that we need at least 10-foot box culverts there, 10 to 12-foot box culverts in both locations to cover the volume of water. When they rebuilt the dam a couple of years ago, they reconfigured the emergency spillway. Now the water goes over a lot faster there now and a lot more volume. So the pond isn't retaining as much water when you get a flood situation. And it seems to come up real quick now. If you get like a 2 or 3 inch rainstorm like we had, within 2.5 hours it's going over the road. And it can be just basically a small trickle through those culverts prior to that. So it comes up 3 or 4 feet in 2 hours. So we're going to try to do something before winter there. That's why I haven't paved over those areas yet, because there's nothing left of those culverts. So,
What could you do to increase the capacity of those culverts?
For the winter, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we aren't going to be able to increase it by much. We may just have to throw in a couple plastic culverts that are 3 or 4 or 5 feet in diameter to get us through the winter, okay. And then, you know, next year, yeah, do the concrete box culverts.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's a very expensive job, and there is some mitigation money out there. There's two different grants we can apply for, and we've applied for one and working on the other. Best we can do.
And you'll have that in the budget. Will you put in your budget for next year, worst case scenario? Can we do that to at least?
Well, we don't know any numbers yet. And I guess depending on what the grants, one of the grants would be 100% funding. The other one is a partial funding. So really, I don't have any numbers to put in there. The budget, whether we do it under a warrant article or if we get the numbers in late enough,
early enough to make it.
Late in the game budget season, we can maybe get a number in there. And I'll keep you informed.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Police Department.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, Mike.
I'm just looking at some of the numbers here, and for some reason this printout doesn't looks like it's skewed. I don't think that some of these numbers are right on the printout. In any event, August, we've been busy with a couple of, I'll just say, multi-agency investigations without getting into what the matter is. So it's kind of time-consuming with a couple investigations in town. We are getting some outside help. Let's see. I wanted to bring up a little animal control situation that was brought to my attention from the ACO about an insurance matter. She uses her own vehicle. She found out that her insurance doesn't cover her if an animal damages her car. So I called the town's carrier, Primex. They wanted to see her policy. We got her policy shipped to them. They reviewed it. They don't cover any animal-related damage to a vehicle if she's using it for town business. There's no coverage from Primex if an animal was in there and it got loose and ripped up her seats, or if there was bodily fluids or whatnot and need to be clean. Primex will not cover that. So she, Primex suggested possibly a vehicle. I asked the ACO to see if she could get a rider. But I felt the town, if she's using her vehicle, the town should be responsible for any costs. Basic common sense on that one. And she just emailed me this afternoon saying that there's no rider for her coverage. She can't get it. So I guess I'll be back to the drawing board with Primex and see if they can offer anything on that. If there's a policy or something we could, get monthly or add into our insurance costs. But I don't know. The first time when I spoke to the guy, he basically said you should be maybe looking at a vehicle.
It's been my experiences that riders aren't very expensive, depending on what it is. I mean, most of the time. So that's just not offered through her company.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll check with Primex this week and see what they have.
Is this the first time that issue's come up?
Correct. The last animal control officer never had an issue with it and had an older vehicle and
okay.
He would just grab anything. But it also, I think, may be a safety concern since it's her personal vehicle. And if she puts something in there that's injured or that had, like I said, bodily fluids or whatnot, sure. And you know, maybe down the road we look at maybe a used vehicle or something as maybe an option. But I thought maybe right now, in the interim, the insurance rider would be a better option. Mm-hmm. And she's agreeable to that, so I guess if we can find that,
okay.
I can come back to the board with that information.
Yeah, it's just so little that it's used. But go ahead.
Well, we always had an animal control car here. You know, Mr. Rodia for 15 years, I think, had a vehicle that we supplied when he had a call.
Correct, that's right.
And then we had the other gentleman that just got done, and he used his vehicle with no, never brought this up. And
right.
To me, I don't know if I want to put an animal in my vehicle that's been injured on a part-time job that's, you know, who knows the condition. So I think if we're going to have a ACO officer, I think we need to make sure that they're satisfied with what we offer them, and whether that be a vehicle or not, it is what it is. That's, I don't know what else to say, you know.
Yeah, because it's a couple of hours a month.
Yeah, but
I mean,
that's irrelevant.
To me, well, I guess to buy a vehicle or to get a vehicle for, I don't know, maybe.
Well, what do you do?
I don't know if that has to be done. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, in the past, I know we've used the cruisers or whatnot.
An old
cruiser like we do for the building department. So that might be an option right there. And I think we might have one coming up next cycle, but we could maybe explore that and compare it with the cost of the insurance or. I'll just go down that other route. I guess I can talk to Carlton further about that.
Okay.
And, I'm a funny feeling Primex ain't going to cover it. For the extra money, I don't think they do that. It's just, I just have that feeling. So.
Well, let's see what they say.
All right.
Anything else, Mike?
And I wanted to let the board know that you'll be seeing some ads for police officer out there in different places, just to get it out there if we can start. We don't have to hire anybody, but we can get a process going. It took us so long for the other guy. Just want to get the word out there. And I've called the Great Bay Community College, and they have a police testing process, and we can sign up for that. And that's in the works. I've talked to the professor, and they're going to send over the packet. And what that is they do their testing. The candidate pays them the money. For us participating, we get the results. We just have to go over there and maybe help administer the test. They do it like, I think, quarterly maybe, or twice a year. Not sure how many times they do it, but and they would just want someone to go over and help them with the testing, like on a Saturday for a few hours or whatnot. And then we get the results. And how it works is, you know, you get 100 people that go there, and then all the towns that sign up to this alliance get the results. So you got towns like Portsmouth and Hooksett competing with Candier, and the towns reach out to wherever, you know, the top 10, 20, 30% passing grades. So it's a lot of competition. But I did talk to the Deerfield chief, and in the past he has used it. It has some success, but now, like he was telling me, that a lot of the bigger towns are just going for the top, cream of the crop, and little towns don't have much to offer. You can make the calls to these guys, but when they get a phone call from a bigger department like Derry or Londonderry, and then we call or email them, they usually don't respond to the smaller towns, from his experience up there. But I think it's just another resource. It doesn't cost anything except our time once in a while, maybe, once a year maybe, or whatnot, so I think that's a good resource. And then I called up the community, the tech college up in Concord, and they have a job posting that goes to all the tech schools in the state. And they said, no chance to put our ad up there to go to all the colleges. So, and then I wanted to put it in the paper. We didn't do that last time. We tried to save some money, and we tried Indeed, and we got a lot of people from New York and Southern Massachusetts applying that were like security guards that wanted to come up. Work part-time at Candier, and it was like, this ain't happening. I'm going to drive up to Quincy on a Friday night.
Yeah, MapQuest.
And some of them came across as officers, and they're actually security officers. And the way the resumes came through with that online program, we just got inundated, and they basically turned out to be a waste of time, to be frank about it. So, but we had to try it and see what was out there. So, that's about it.
Any questions, boy?
Nope.
Thanks. And the fire department, I guess we'll wait on that. It's available over there if the public wants to see it, the report, because Mr. Dan isn't here too.
Yay.
You're on, Dave.
Building Department, August, busy as it has been. 43 permits issued, 3 new code enforcement cases. That's a start, anyway. And so there's 6 on the books now. And have been closed, 103 inspections performed in August, 27 COs given out, and only 1 renewed permit. Revenues are still holding kind of strong. Looks like September's coming in strong. Yeah, a lot of code enforcement, as you know, keeping me very busy. It's time consuming. But we're getting through it. I think we're just having a little spike here, building in code enforcement.
And may I ask a question, Dave? Is that something that like the code enforcement can be done part-time or a different person or a separate person where you're getting so busy with your...
Sure. You know anybody?
No, I don't. I just was curious. It seems
to... I think that would be a big can of worms. I'm just kind of hanging in there. I think it'll calm down. You know, if it was like this all the time, but we've all seen the spikes up and down. Let's just stay with it for now.
Okay.
I haven't lost my mind completely yet.
Well, let's, yeah. I'm not touching that comment, but... okay, anything else? Any questions for Dave? Okay, solid waste, and Russ asked to have that, the report, tabled to the meeting on the 20th, is it, or?
Mm-hmm. The 24th.
20,
whatever, yeah.
Any other departments, any other reports? Okay, we'll go on. The board to appoint Dick Weeks to the Fitz Museum Board of Trustees.
Do we have a letter?
There's a letter in the sign folder. I'm sorry, I completely left that one out. Apologize.
I'll make a motion to appoint Mr. Richard Weeks to the Candia Fitz Museum Board of Trustees.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed.
We thank him for coming on board. Dick will be an asset to the Fitz Trustees.
Definitely. Okay, the next one, the selectmen to request funds from the trustees of the trust fund for the fire suppression water supply capital reserve fund and to reimburse the fire department for the following, Firematic for $65, another one for $2,048, and Greenwood emergency vehicles for $48.05. And that was...
Do we have a grand total, or you want to do them separate, Mrs. Chairman?
We can do it separate if it's listed separate, and then I'll go. The request will go out, I think, is one, but...
Yeah.
I move we request the trustees of the trust fund to release funds to the from this fire suppression and water supply capital reserve fund in the following amounts. $465 to pay Firematic Supply Company. $2,048 again to pay Firematic Supply, and $48.05 to pay Greenwood Emergency Vehicles.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. And the next one again, to request funds from the trustee of the trust fund from the Town Building Maintenance Expendable Trust Fund and to reimburse the town building maintenance in the amount of $1,775.
I move we request the trustees of the trust fund to release $1,775 from the town building maintenance expendable trust fund to reimburse us for the improvements made around the town building office there.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. And the next one, Selectman Dan has asked us to table the discussion of purchasing a skid steer for the recycling center until the September 24th meeting. Is everyone in favor of that?
Just a note on that, please.
Okay.
I would request that before we hear this, we have the minutes from our budget meeting last September, and the minutes from our meeting, I think it would have been in April, when we discussed this in length, and Mr. Komazak hadn't came on board yet as selectman, and I don't believe he was here when we talked about the budget. There was a lot of discussion at them two meetings that we all ought to refresh our memories on before we discuss this again.
And so you'd like them to be available or sent to the...
Put them in the sign?
In the sign folder.
We should put them in the sign folder, and we could review them, and they should be with our discussion.
On the 24th.
On the agenda. It should be part of the discussion.
Yeah, but you'd also like them in the folder for the 24th.
Remember what date that was in April?
April, it would have been after election and probably the first meeting of April.
Okay.
Maybe the second. I don't recall.
Yeah, I have them all in a folder here.
I'd have to look, oh, yeah.
I've got them all in the folder.
Yeah.
And actually, you weren't here on the budget meeting, Mr. Travis.
That's right, yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
What's that?
Is that agreeable for all?
Sure.
Okay, great. So we'll table that till the 24th. Excuse me, update on the property at exit 3, Wildcat Land Development Center check. Made out to the town of Candia. They're securing the extension of their option to purchase, which was in our original agreement. So they have gone ahead and done that. So they have another year option, and the check was sent on that. Any questions on that?
None.
Great. Okay, the board to consider adopting the employee compensation plan. And it's 5.1, I believe. Is that correct, boy?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Has everyone had a chance to look at this or any questions on that? So I'll accept the motion. Do you agree with it?
You confident with that now, Mr. Travis?
I am.
Did it?
Are you?
I think it's really good myself. I think there's some issues that we can work out as far as
later.
Longevity and such, yeah. But that wasn't part of this, and
right.
I think we've
stepped in the right direction.
I think we've completed our task to this point.
Do you want to make a motion?
I move we accept revision 5.1 of the Town of Candia's employee compensation plan.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
And I do, thank you very much for all your work, Boyd. And
well,
I agree with Carlton as far as longevity and like that. That's something we can discuss in the future. The next one is discuss the hive. The intent that this was put on here is not to have a discussion on the hive, but is just to make perfectly clear what's going or not going to happen this weekend. That's the only reason that is on there. Do we have an understanding or a date? I mean...
Next weekend,
I'm sorry.
Well, there's something on the internet that says it's been... The location's been changed to the Lewis Farm.
Let's wait a minute, I'm going to wait till they're quiet.
That's been... that whole process has been to a move to a new location in Concord, the Lewis Farm.
Okay.
I checked their website today, and they are showing it coming up on the 21st over there, the equinox season.
So if I can ask you directly, Josh, so we will not expect anybody to be going. I mean, the 400 who had bought tickets prior to the location change, have they all been notified in some way, shape, or form?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so that's... And they won't show up at Dennis's house, so Lewis Farm there.
That's actually the address we provided.
There we go. All right, I didn't have anything else to say on this. I just wanted to make sure we were crystal clear. All set with that?
Very good.
Perfect. All set, board? All right, we will go on. Thank you, Josh. The next, Mr. Chivers. If you don't mind doing the honors.
The payables and every...
Yes, all please.
Right. For the week ending September 6th, 2018, the payroll was $28,326.69. The week ending September 13th, the payroll was $18,140.34 for a combined total of $46,467.03, excuse me. For accounts payable, the week ending September 6th, payables were $878,615.24, of which the Moore School, or the school district, got $750,000. The following week, September 13th, the payroll, the payables were $30,614.52 for a combined total of payables and payroll of $955,696.79.
So moved.
Okay, motion by Carlton. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Under other business, do you have anything, Scott?
Election tomorrow, so we talked about it earlier. Carlton and Boyd are 6, and then you and I are like at 11 till like 4, around 4. And then Russ is going to come in. I'm going to stay with Russ. And then Boyd has volunteered to come back, so we've got the 3.
And I'll come back if you want to come, if one of you don't want or
all right,
whatever.
We'll figure it out tomorrow.
Okay, and I can come in earlier than the 11 if somebody needs to go to work and like that, so.
Okay.
No, I'm there till about 9, just so you know.
All right, so I'll probably come in, I'd probably be better to come in at 9. We could stagger that, but we'll work it out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, perfect, thank you very much. And you're going to the meeting?
Yeah, September 14th.
Okay, and they do have, what we did last time is they had everything that they're going to cover at this meeting. This is a meeting for the New Hampshire Municipal Association, and Boyd's going to represent us. And if there's anything you feel strongly about,
right,
if you let me know. Yeah, but I think it's pretty basic, and sometimes they amend it while you're there, so it really.
Yeah. How long does that take?
All day.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Bring your coffee. Let's put it that way. So what? It does. I think, yeah. Yeah, we were. Okay. It was a while.
I went. It was all day.
Yeah. I think they've cut it back a little bit.
Starts at 9.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. The next thing is if you get a chance before the budgets to look at this, the IT costs. It's in the sign folder. It's been there a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, you signed. It's something to think about. Very expensive.
Yeah.
What we might have to do just to keep up with our technology.
Is somebody going to explain that to us?
He can. Would you like him to come in?
With it. That's a lot of money involved in that.
Yes.
I'd like to know what we're getting for it.
Okay. So if you can see if he can come in on the 24th, that meeting, to have it explained.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you have him come in on the night we're doing the budget?
Well, will he be a long time or?
Well, that's...
It could be that'd be him or it could be Jason. You and John are in...
Yeah, we're going to sit down.
Okay. Is that before the budget meeting?
Yeah. How much of an increase was it? Oh, not that much.
No, this is replacing equipment. Yeah. is thousands and thousands.
Well, we need to replace equipment. The stuff we got is ancient.
It sounds like... Yeah.
It's cut this far.
Well, yeah, but we can say that about the horse and buggy.
When it breaks down,
if he wants it, I'd have him come in. Maybe we can
come in.
Tell him
maybe a 5 or 10 minute presentation because we have to do all the departments, and we're starting at 6, by the way.
6?
I don't know how much of that is carried over from last year's. The same paperwork, you know. We
it is. I thought it was new money.
Yeah, I think
right,
Microsoft.
No, we don't buy it all. We only, you know, last year we did the same thing with them, and we, you know, we only can update so much. We only ask for so much.
Okay. Well, so let me read that again, see if I can understand.
Do you want my copy? Or you want it?
I'll get one.
Okay. Yeah, I think some of it is Microsoft is just changing. They won't even be usable at all, so it's not going to be some options, I think. I don't know. I'm not a techie. Okay. This is probably for Dave. So Mark Hessel, did he replace the ground fault thing or just turn it off at Moore Park?
At Moore Park? I think it was turned off. I think he removed it.
All right, because it says replace in the parking lot and replace at the softball field, and I just wanted to make sure if we have a plug.
I think you removed it. I didn't actually, I think you got rid of it.
Okay.
We talked about it, it had been burned up.
Yes.
We talked about it saying, we don't even use that out there.
Okay, I just wondered whether it was replaced or not.
It was burned up years ago.
Yeah. Now that the shed's gone, it really showed up. Clean it up.
Let no good deed go unpunished. That's the way it goes. I'm sorry, I got on a tangent. Boy, did you have something?
Nope.
I have nothing.
Okay, the public. Mr. Hall.
Al Hall, Adams Road. Sorry, Madam Chairman. Can you tell me what the hive is? On the agenda, the hive.
You missed it, Al.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell him what it is before we end up?
Yeah, because I hadn't heard about it until a month ago or so. It's a, I believe, a community arts and farming and agriculture center. This is the owner of it right here. I don't know if he wants to.
Music festival.
See, boys, Al.
I still don't understand what the hive is.
Can you explain it to him maybe better than I can?
Yeah, it's a community space. We do arts, music, agriculture, learning, anything we can use the land for.
Where is this?
It's on Patton Hill Road.
Oh, maybe it has some PR on the public relations. What is this? I'm old, I don't know.
We're trying to shut down
it's a farm with a bunch of people. It's a farm with a bunch of people.
Oh. Maybe we should have some PR.
Let's not touch that right now. We've had enough PR. We're going to stop right there. All right, we're stopping the conversation. Yeah. Okay. But thank you for asking, Al. You can Google it. Okay, next.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, thanks. Anybody else? Any comments here? Or did you all just come to... Did you all... Oh, okay. I was going to say they didn't all come to see us, did they? Yes.
Dan Hutton with BMT Construction.
Yes.
With North Road and New Boston Road.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been making a lot of forward progress on designs that's been submitted to Neil, build it over the DES. And I believe, Dave, you received some information?
I did. I have. And I have one copy here if you guys want to pass it around.
So right now, I have verbal from Neil that he's going to accept all the drawings. So I'm thinking tomorrow we should have something in writing from him that he's going to accept what the engineer submitted to him. And I just want to make the board aware, I did meet with two abutters that contacted me. I gave my information out, and I met with the two that contacted me. One was Jesse at 437 North Road. I believe that's his address.
Four thirty-seven.
So I met with Jesse. We did a sidewalk. There were some areas of silt that were real concerned. There were some areas that we decided not to do anything at this time. The areas that we talked about, we went up, did some cleanup, and Jesse, you were satisfied with the results?
Yes.
Okay. And then I met with Pat at 425. North Road. We did a sidewalk. I think Pat was here earlier.
He was. He got called out for work.
We did a sidewalk. We came up with a great plan. There's probably four or five items that we're going to address on his property. I told him just give me a week or so, and I met with him last Friday. So we're going to try and get in at the end of this week, if not beginning of next week, to address those issues. And I guess I'd like to know if we could. I know there's a cease and desist, and it sounds like it's the two upper lots on New Boston Road that were the biggest concerns. So the two lower lots, which are the address 394 and 398, we have a foundation at 394. I would really like to know if we could start building on that lot. Now, no abutters have met me from those two lots that abut their properties. Nobody's contacting me on those two. So I'm assuming there's no issues.
I think it's fair to assume that those abutters are waiting for you to submit your plan to DES and have it approved and then later reviewed by the town.
But I don't know what they did to their property. I was willing to do sidewalks with them, so I don't know what their concern is with their property. I understand my property, but what was it doing to their property? What's the results? And nobody contacted me, so I don't know if there's any concerns on their property.
This is Dan Turner.
Oh.
I think it's polite that I introduce myself, because I'm the owner of that lot. My name's Darren. Hi, folks. I'm the owner of 394 New Boston. I'm the hopeful new owner. I grew up in Keene, New Hampshire, and the past 8 years I've been living in San Diego. I work as a physician assistant treating cancer patients, and so I'm currently employed at Dartmouth. This is my older son, Brennan, right here. He's 21. And this is my dad, Robert, and my mom, Dolores. So we've just been patiently waiting to get things moving along. Dan's been really proactive, and I feel lucky to have him as my guy. So my wife is still in San Diego. She's going to come out when the home is a little closer to getting done. And I have a 17-year-old son at Boston College on a baseball scholarship, so he's down there. And he'll come up once in a while, but just like to get things moving. I know we've got to do it the right way. We've got to communicate and go through the right steps and be legal. And I appreciate you working with Dan and hearing him out.
And I will tell you, it's public record and it's in the minutes. I couldn't understand why you had your foundation in, and I couldn't understand why you couldn't frame it at that point. But that wasn't my decision. The board decided to go to the DES. So I don't know if we take your expertise. I mean, in my opinion, that foundation or whatever it was going to do to the land or the earth, it's done. And I can only see if you're building on it and then putting the landscaping in, it's securing it better than it is now. But I might be wrong because I'm not an earth
guy. Well, you make a good point. The more they do up there, the more it's going to secure it. But right now, Mr. Cotton's engineer did pass in a plan. I think DES received it on Friday. They notified me today. They're working on a rough plan and going over it. I would think with it, maybe tomorrow I'll hear back from them with a yay or nay, and we can get a copy of their plan and see where they're at. As far as allowing to build, it's really the board's decision at that point. I think I'd like to wait and see this plan.
I think that's what we agreed on at our last meeting. We
that's
look at
how
the plan,
it went down at the last
have
meeting.
Have it evaluated?
Yeah. That's correct.
I understand that that's what you agreed on, but I feel there was a lot of concerns from the abutters. That's why there was a meeting. Nobody's contacted for the first two lots. And again, I gave that information out. So I guess what I'm asking for is the first 394 and 398. Actually, for 394, just to start building on 394.
One has a foundation and one does not, correct?
They actually both have foundations.
They do.
The two lower lots have one foundation.
Okay.
And the two upper lots have one foundation.
I'm thinking of the other. Okay. Well, I've given you my opinion that way, but...
Yeah.
So you want to start framing on the lower lot or the lower and the upper?
Just the lower one right now.
Just
the lower one, because nobody has approached me or contacted me with what their concerns were. I don't know what they are.
I agree with you, yeah. If they don't talk to you, you're going to know. I don't know why they haven't reached out to him. He's very personable,
no,
and easy to work with.
I thought he was more than
upfront
and willing to...
He has concerns. He'll be more than happy to get down there and discuss it and see, get a plan.
Did you?
Scott Menzel, 413 North Road.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought in our last meeting that what we were talking about was seeing the engineering report before we even discussed what we were going to do next. I know that you and I have talked about that a couple of times, that there really was no point in you doing anything on my property until we saw an engineering report, what's going to actually happen to the water before it starts coming down the hill. So, I mean, we're going to see it again tonight because it's raining pretty good right now. I know my driveway is going to be in the road again. So that's the reason why I haven't contacted you yet, because I was waiting to see what we were seeing on the engineering report. That's the way I remember it. And then maybe that's why, I don't know why they're not here or whatever, but that, it's beside the point of anyone else.
But you about to two up a lot.
I do.
So again, and I agree with you. Yeah. We have some, I got some plans. We'd be more happy if you want to take a look at. It's the lower two lots and the first foundation. I guess that's what I'm asking for. If we can at least start framing that one. Nobody has contacted me. And I don't think anybody's contacted Dave.
I don't have a problem, but I let's hear from the rest of the board.
I'm going to speak on that briefly. From our last meeting, Mr. Courtney was here. A lot of abutters were here. And I was a little confused on, we had serious rain, at which we all agreed to. It rained very hard, numerous times in them few weeks. And I travel North Road and New Boston Road on a daily basis. And North Road was gone. There was a piece 16 feet wide, 5 feet deep missing on North Road on a Friday afternoon. It was gone. And that water that took out that piece of North Road came from the other side of the road from Mr. Courtner's development. That came from the dam side. That took out that road. And the water that was on New Boston Road on Walnut Hill and the driveway below that was above their property, and it took out two driveways on the north side of New Boston Road also. So we had a tremendous amount of rain that came down that hill. And with the land being disturbed the way it was, it caused some serious erosion. There's no doubt about that. With the fines and the water, of course, probably channeled itself in more specific one areas than it may have used to. And I agree to that. But there was complaints, and our code enforcement officer contacted New Hampshire DES, which he was, I think, was the right thing to do to address that issue. And they came down, and the town looked at that also with Mr. Chivers and Mr. Lewis, and DES was going to address the issue with the developer. It's really a developer's issue, I think, and our code enforcement officer. And we issued the gentleman a cease and desist. If the state of New Hampshire DES thought that we needed to issue a cease and desist, they probably would have recommended that or sent one themselves, which they've been known to do if somebody has tore up a whole lot of land and has not controlled the flow of water. So we got put here as a Board of Selectmen with Mr. Murray working with New Hampshire DES along with Mr. Courtner and ourselves issuing a cease and desist. And we all heard the audience 2 weeks ago telling the Board of Selectmen that we're going to be responsible for that being rectified completely. Well, there's nothing in anybody's game book that says that we can fix that problem completely. Because if it rains like that again, we're going to spend, I don't know how much money to fix culverts that, like I said, the water came from the other side of the street and took out North Road, and the water came from the other side and came down the hill and took out some driveways and got out into North Road. So we got ourselves in a situation here that I don't know if we're ever going to be able to satisfy everybody. But we were told that we're going to be held accountable for that as a Board of Selectmen, which really is out of our hands. It's
right.
Code enforcement issue, along with a driveway issue. And Dennis seems to have that under control, and he'll verify on Walnut Hill, on the opposite side of the road, we lost two driveways in a leach field. It rained. I don't believe I've ever seen it rain that hard.
No one has.
That was record break. August broke record.
So. Just a couple of comments that we need to really consider what we're holding up a gentleman. I'm a home builder, and I'm not going to be willing to put $200,000 or $300,000 into the construction of a home, without knowing that I'm going to rectify this problem and be able to get a CO. Why would I put $250,000 out there and not know if I'm going to fix this problem? I think the gentleman is acting in good faith. And like he said last time, to line people up and get this job right. Going. in this season, which we're coming into fall, I see, I understand Dave's point, and I'd like to see the plan, but I don't know. And we also talked about our engineers looking at his engineer's work. BS, that's it, you know, they should be able to handle that.
Yeah, we don't need our engineers looking at it. DES has engineers.
Well, it was a panic here 2 weeks ago. Everybody was in a panic, and I should have said a little more than I did. I just said it tonight, and that's what I got on this subject.
I think it's fair to say we issued that cease and desist order out of an abundance of caution. After hearing what all the abutters said the previous meeting and their claim that the town is going to be responsible for any damages to their property without being able to determine whether that there's any legal basis to that, I think it's fair to say that Dave and, you know, the building department, and with my support, issued that cease and desist order just to get this thing rolling, to get Mr. Cotnor to get his attention, to get this plan filed, which apparently he's done before the September 11th deadline. Is that, am I right, Dave? He did file a remediation plan.
Correct. We retained an engineer, and we submitted a design.
So, I mean, this thing is happening the way we envisioned in our last meeting. You've got the plan now. I think now it goes to DES for their approval, right?
They already have it, yeah.
They have approved it.
Neil has reviewed it.
Will he give you any kind of a statement indicating that plan conforms to their requirements and they accept your proposal?
Yes, he's going to give us that information in writing.
So, I mean, I mean, my view is, I think that if that can satisfy our code enforcement officer, I'd leave it up to his discretion to whether to suspend that cease and desist order with respect to that house that you're talking about. Where, 394?
Yes, the first one going up the hill.
That would be my recommendation, is to let Dave decide this.
Well, go ahead, Scott. What are you thinking?
Well, I think we have to. I've talked to some abutters. I've been up there a couple times. I've talked with some abutters. And, you know, everyone's kind of feeling the same way. They understand that they want Mr. Cotnoy to remain solvent as well. We have to work with him. He's like Carlton said, there's a lot of money out there. He's got to make this thing work. He's doing everything he can do, and as you said, acting in good faith. So that's my concern. If we sit here and we hold him up, and we hold him up, and we hold him up, and then we make him financially weaker,
right,
then there's a risk to that as well. So what I'm curious is, what's the risk to him framing? I mean, it's not going to disturb the site anymore, right?
In my opinion, like I said at the last meeting, I don't think it does. I only think it would make it stronger. But again, you know, I don't build personally. My husband does, but I don't. And I'll be honest with you, you keep bringing up cease and desist. We adjusted another one. Why can't we adjust this gentleman's cease and desist? Why can't we do it for him? I give him a lot of credit for coming in here that first meeting, and that room was packed with people who, I'm sure he knew he was going to get it, but he had the guts to come in here. He addressed the crowd. He addressed the board. To me, I think I would be more than willing to bend over backwards to work with that gentleman, you know, as again, and maybe we can put it contingent upon if the DES comes back and says, no, this isn't going to work. Then you stop again, but I mean, I think everybody's going to have the reports just about, what, within the next day or two?
I'm hoping.
I mean, is that something that you're agreeable to do, or? Oh, Dennis.
I don't want to interrupt you, sir.
No, go ahead.
Keep going. But anyway, my thought was,
I feel strong about that.
The water from those lots does cross North Road and then come back through those culverts on three of the lots. One of them it doesn't, but it cuts across, then comes back down. But my thought was the cease and desist was on the wrong part of the job anyway.
Okay.
The framing isn't going to do us any harm.
Right.
The earthwork should have stopped until the plan was in place that showed what the contours are going to be,
right,
what's going to hold the water back, how it's going to be mitigated, all those things. But as far as pounding nails on the house,
right,
that isn't going to do anyone any harm. but we need to make sure that the site work is done properly to satisfy all the abutters and the town. So, I mean, refrain from any more site work until that's approved by DES, and I'm still going to say that we should bond the site work to make sure it gets done before winter, because we don't want to have this situation coming up next spring. And we need to be able to get that done one way or another. If for some reason you don't want to do it and the town has to do this mitigation, we need some sort of security for that. But other than, as far as building the house, I don't see an issue with.
Okay, so if we can, he can start, if he gets permission to start building the house, okay, and a bond is being worked on by whomever, is that something that you think you can live with, or?
Yeah, my only concern is the bond. I think that should have been presented with a building permit. There was no bond presented with the building permit application.
Well, that was how long ago?
Implying a bond. I guess I'm a little confused with the bond now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the work. The state's going to monitor me. They're going to have someone reviewing that site on a weekly basis and submitting reports. So a bond to me, again, there was no information provided to me stating what had to be done on those lots when building permits were approved as buildable lots.
All right, we don't have to probably go back that far, because I know there'll be some arguments. Go ahead, Boyd.
I think we're going to have a bond if you don't make the improvements to the lot. You probably won't get a certificate of occupancy.
Yeah, CO, right.
That would be the bond in itself.
That's correct.
And I've already done probably 85% of what we submit to the state, because I did a sidewalk with my engineer, and he said, this is what we're going to need to do.
Right.
So I've already completed about 80% of that.
So, I mean, I think it would be fair to tie the certificate of occupancy to the completion in terms of that plan, and subject to approval by the town and DES.
Well, it is anyway, isn't it? I mean, he has a right not to give a CO if it's not.
That could just be on one lot, though. What are you going to do with the other three if if he's not looking for a CO and those lots aren't restored to whatever is needed? You only hold it. You can get a CO on the one lot that's done, but what about the other three?
Would you improve all four of those lots in exchange for a CO?
We have three homes sold. So I need to be very active up there.
Yeah.
And the fourth one's not even on the market right now. And there's already a lot of interest. So my plan is to complete all this by within 8 to 12 month period, all four lots. I have three sold properties.
Yeah. But I guess the point is, are you going to improve the entire lot or correct the deficiencies on the entire lot in exchange for the CO for the first lot, for all four of those parcels there?
Okay, and again, I have already completed about 80% of what the concerns were on that plan design from my engineer. So when you're asking, will I do it, I've already done 80% of it. And if I'm allowed to go up and running again, I can complete more. I can complete.
Okay.
What
if
the
DES,
design
is.
I feel like I'm being held back right now. I want to go up there.
Okay.
I want to go up there and work.
But and it's hard. We're trying to. We represent everybody. The people who aren't here tonight. We represent everybody. But is that something that it sounds reasonable? He can start building on that. He'll continue upon permission from the DES. He'll continue with his site. What are we looking at?
Mr. Chivers made a point that we were gonna. The plan will be accepted by New Hampshire DES. Mr. Murray will review that. If that's accepted, I think that's a call. I think this is a code enforcement issue more than it is anything else.
Right.
I'll put it that way at this point. On them two lots, 394 and 397, correct?
98, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
There's two separate lots there with two lots each on them. With two in the middle, I think, or one.
Correct.
In the
middle. Two.
You know, so, and it is all tied together. But I don't know if you people even walked them two lots that he's talking about that day. DES came out. Did you?
Not all the way down to the back. Right. No.
Didn't even walk them two.
Well,
they're talking about.
went down over the side. And pretty much we're looking at the same as on the other two. Steep slope and nothing holding it there.
Right.
As far as damage to the neighbors' houses and properties, I don't know.
We don't know.
So. 394 actually is an L-shaped lot. So a lot of that water that ran off the slope went down below, which is a flatter piece of property. It's a very flat piece where the water dispersed and slowed down.
And that's still your property?
Correct.
That's what
there's
I...
There's 2 acres of property. Yeah, there's almost 2 acres that you can't see at the very bottom.
So do you have a plan there with some preliminary drawings of that lot?
Yeah.
And the rectification?
Would the board like to...
Well, maybe I would. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's not my area of expertise.
So I can just... actually, no, these are the two upper lots.
Oh, well, I'm interested in the two lots that we're talking about.
Yeah, where are you trying to build? Show us where you want to...
It's not on there.
No, okay. It's on the two lower lots.
Oh, and that's the other?
No, this is the two upper lots.
Oh, okay. You don't have that at all with you.
When I spoke to Mr. Villadue today, he was working on the rough draft after receiving the plan. I should get that back tomorrow. If he's all right with what's going on, it sounds like a good compromise. He's only looking for half the cease and desist lifted on one lot.
Right.
I guess at my discretion at that point when I get the plans and I talk to Neil Villadue,
yeah.
If it's the board's pleasure and I feel confident to let that go.
I would be agreeable to that.
Compromise. It's one lot out of four.
I'm agreeable to
start building on it.
Is that okay? And then at least you can start.
It's a starting point. I think it's a great starting point.
Okay.
One issue on that. We're not going to be putting a foundation on 398.
No, he hasn't.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm looking for...
Well, them two lots. We're talking about them two lots on the lower end of that, whatever
yes.
you call it.
Yes.
There's one with a foundation, one without.
Right.
If Mr. Murray grants you permission to work on them two lots, it'll be working on the one with the foundation. You won't be putting in another foundation. You won't be pouring any fresh concrete.
No, I'm just looking to start framing.
Right.
And then we'll use Neil's information with Dave, and then I think we can make a decision.
Okay.
Dave can make a decision from there.
Okay, do
I think.
Sounds good to me.
And I don't think you need any type of, you have a verbal agreement. I think we're all set. We don't need a motion or anything to that.
No, I'd write something up on.
Okay.
You can write something up about the occupancy permit. Occupancy permit for that one lot, but not until all the problems on all four lots
right.
have been corrected.
Right. All right.
Do you understand that, Mr. Cotnor?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
I think
that's
sure
getting a little bit reasonable.
Right. So you're going to correct all the problems on that site, all four lots, in exchange for that CO when that house is completed.
Right.
Yeah, you should have it all done.
Okay.
All right, good. Any comments from anyone else out there? Okay, great. Thank you very much for coming back in. Any other public comments? Motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn at 8:04.
I'll second that.
Perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming in, people.